Take your Bible today, and let's open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and following. I want to talk about the half-full life. We'll get there in just a moment. I know that's a little over the edge, but we'll get there before we're all said and done today. Stand for the reading of God's Word, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and following. You know, when Paul wrote these epistles, he would typically lay out his theological treatise or argument for the brethren in the congregations to which these epistles, i.e. letters, were directed. And then generally, once he's laid out the theological framework, in the case of the Thessalonian church, it was about really the advent of the Lord. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with a reference to the coming of the Lord. But once he finishes that, then he would do his housekeeping items. And as C.M. Ward used to say, it was like kind of a blur of information. He'll lump a bunch of things together today. And we're going to see this as we head toward a verse that is kind of the fulcrum of our message of this day. Verse 12, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Verse 13, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." One more time, verse 18. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's read this verse together. This is where I was headed today. Everyone read verse 18 with me, whatever translation you have. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, it's on the screen. Verse 18, let's read it together. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Do it again. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." One more time, let's read it. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Verse 19, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies or the spiritual gifts." Verse 21, "Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Heavenly Father, we ask you today, in these remaining moments, please speak to us as we prepare ourselves for the upcoming time of celebration in this country and among our people. We ask you today to speak to us and reveal yourself to us. God, there is without a doubt a message that you want all of us to hear today that will make a radical difference who we are, where we live, with whom we live. We ask you, Lord, to guide us so that we might grasp wondrous things out of your word today. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said a great big amen. The renowned British essayist G.K. Chesterton once wrote the following words, so poignant for this day, and I quote, he says, "When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. Whether you take them for granted or you take them with gratitude." He continued, "The aim of life is really appreciation. There is no sense in not appreciating things, but there's no sense in having more of them if you do not appreciate what you've got." And he concluded by writing that the worst thing is the atheist when he finally realizes his need for thanksgiving but has no one to thank. You know, when you get right down to it, the bottom line is whether you're thankful. Cicero, the Roman writer, was reputed to have said that thanksgiving is not just the chief of virtues, it's the parent of all virtues. You know, when you're kind of rubbing shoulders with folk, really, it gets right down, are they or are they not thankful? We rightfully so in this country, have a day we have set aside to express thanks. The public school textbooks have tried to redact in recent years the true meaning of that historical time when William Bradford and the Pilgrims brought together those that had helped them when they came to what we now know as New England, Massachusetts specifically. They talk about how they gathered to say thanks, but what they've redacted out of the textbooks is in the original writing of the Puritans, their thanksgiving was to God. They gathered to thank God. We have been so incredibly blessed in this country in ways that maybe we don't always fully appreciate. If you've traveled extensively in the third world as I have, it's not generally in the cultures that don't have much where ingratitude is a problem. It's typically in the places where folks have a lot. We have a lot. A lot more than we deserve. We've been blessed with wonderful ways of earning and providing. Many of us have very nice homes, roadworthy automobiles. For the most part, we're pretty sane. We're not making eye contact today. Sometimes I wonder about myself on occasion. We generally have pretty decent health, or at least access to health care to address many of the problems that we might experience in life. Many of us are in situations today where perhaps God has blessed us to the degree that we own what we have. Maybe we don't owe anybody anything. God has literally blessed us like that. See, the problem with thanksgiving, this principle of thanksgiving, or the idea of thanks, is it implies a level of debt. When you say the words thank you to someone, you are recognizing a certain debt that is owed for something that has been done. So typically, if someone is in some way doing in some regard something that you don't have to do for yourself, or somebody is providing in such a way that you could not, then typically it's appropriate to say thank you. And I have no hesitancy talking today about how thankful I am for the blessing that God has enriched our lives. I thank God for my wife. She has gifts and graces I do not have. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my kids. I've got two grandkids biologically, two step-grandkids. We got a fifth one in the oven. And, you know, this life's been coming this way. We're being very, very blessed. I don't feel like, quote-unquote, I deserved all of these things. I view them as what James references as every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shifting shadows. I have no apology to stand before you that I've been blessed far more than I ever would have dreamed that I would have been blessed in life. I never envisioned in my youngest years being where I am today, having pastored congregations, having traveled the world and carried the gospel, having been allowed to vacation in all sorts of differing places, and to be able to stand before you and think, how did I get here with all of this blessing and all of this fortunate sort of life? I say thanks to God every time I begin a prayer. Father, I want to thank you. Why? Because I recognize all of his blessing. I didn't deserve that. And he's poured it out more richly upon us than we could ever dream or imagine. Thanksgiving falls in the same universe as things like humility, meekness, praise. The lack of thanksgiving, the ingratitude or the lack of appreciation, falls in the same universe as bitterness, anger, narcissism. That person that struggles to experience or understand thanksgiving seems to have the sort of attitude that, hey, not only do I not need to say thanks, perhaps I should have got better than what I got. And again, in cultures like ours, when we've been blessed with so much, it never ceases to amaze me how much we complain. Because we have so much. We've been blessed with so much. And yet seemingly, if we're not careful, it's often easy to slip into a growling, grumbling spirit. Things do happen at times that we cannot control. But you serve a God that is going to take care of you and going to watch over you. Now listen, the spirit of thanksgiving, without a doubt, makes us easier to live with. It makes us easier to work for or to work with. It makes us easier to kind of roll with the punches. Because you know, when you develop a bad attitude, then the whole world smells like garlic. And sometimes stuff happens that you didn't plan or prepare for. Yesterday early in the day, son called us and said, "Dad, I'm sick. I'm just really sick." And he'd been sick all night long. And we hadn't prepared for this, hadn't planned for this. He said, "Is there any way you and Mom can come up and get the grandkids?" He didn't tell me they had the croup. He just said he was sick. "Can you help us?" So we did what we had to do. We made our way to Fort Wayne. We grabbed up the grandkids. We hadn't got 15 minutes down there. Oh, my God, no wonder. These grandkids are sick. I mean, they were really sick. Well, on the way back from picking up the grandkids, I got caught in that snowstorm. Now, if you know north of Indianapolis, between Indy and the southern part of Fort Wayne and that way, it really, really, really snowed. And we were coming down Interstate 69, just a little bit south of Fort Wayne Bypass, between there and Anderson, Muncie, that area, and it snowed about 2 inches in about 30 minutes. I mean, and the interstate was not plowed, it was not properly treated, and we got caught up in that slush, and from running when I usually run 70 miles an hour and a bit faster with gusts, all of a sudden it was down to 20 miles an hour. And state, county people were slowing the traffic down. It was that bad. 8 or 10 cars in the ditch within about 50 miles. Now, listen, I hadn't planned for this. We had not thought the day was going this way. Oh my God, he wasn't just sick. That grandkids were sick. And he called us out, and we're caught in the middle of this snowstorm, and people are going in the ditch right and left. Now, anybody like me that might start feeling and talking like that in the middle of such a moment? How many of you have ever had God jerk a knot in your tail? In the middle of all this, and a truck came by and covered our car with slush, so I couldn't even see the highway. I thought, oh, here we go. I thought I was going in the ditch. Got the windshield clean full, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God, I knew what I was going to preach today, by the way, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "Do you ever think, even in the middle of this, how really blessed you are? Many of grandparents never ever get a chance to see their grandkids." Now, they were in the back seat. My granddaughter Hannah had my phone. Our grandson Owen had his grandma's phone. And they're back there, they're listening to Paw Patrol, and they're listening to Thomas the Train, they're listening to Super Wings, and going on in the middle of this slush storm. And in a New York minute, the Spirit of God got my attention and said, "You know what? I'm going to take care of you. But how blessed? How blessed are you really?" And in a moment, it pivoted. It just pivoted. I had a profound experience some years ago. As some of you know, for quite a while, I served as an office manager in a funeral home and really directed things that happened with the families that came and went. Many, many, many times when they did not have a minister, I preached those funerals. I had an experience I have never forgotten. Never forgotten. Family did not have a minister. They did not attend church. And after the visitation was concluded and they were preparing for the actual funeral service, I saw the woman whose husband lay deceased in the casket. And I saw her standing at the casket, looking into his eyes. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Looking into the casket. And I didn't know if she was about to have a bit of a moment, so I was watching. And I finally, as she stood there for a bit, and the service really needed to get started, I finally went up to her and I wrapped my arm around her. I said, "Ma'am, are you all right?" And I'll never forget what she said. She said, "You know, for..." for the largest part of our married life, I complained incessantly about his snoring. She said, I'd do anything right now. She said, I'd do anything right now to have him back next to me, warm and snoring again. You know, it's interesting how God provides for us, then we complain about what he provides. We are blessed today. Don't complain about cleaning your house. Thank God you've got one. Don't complain about your job. Thank God you've got a job. Don't complain about your health. Thank God today you're vertical and not horizontal. Thank God today for your country. We may have a lot of issues and a lot of problems, but we've still been blessed to live in one of the finest countries on earth. Don't complain about the church. Thank God you have the freedom to worship where you will, how you will. Don't complain today about the accoutrements of life that you may not have, because the greatest thing in life are not things. Don't complain today about all of the work that you got to go through to get ready for your family to come for Thanksgiving. Thank God you've got a family. And thank God that they may be coming to your house under your roof where you can call the shots. My house, my rules. We have a lot to be thankful for. That doesn't mean there aren't challenges. There are. It's not what happens to us. It's the attitude we have in the midst of what happens to us that really defines who we are. I've had the honor through many, many years of not just ministry, but other forms of secular work of hiring and firing, as much as I hated to do the latter. It did happen on some occasions. But when we would interview people, yeah, we look for talent to a degree, but talent only takes you so far. In ministry situations, yeah, we look for anointing. But only anointing will only take you so far. But I will tell you the kind of ingredients we always tried to look for in people. We tried to look for loyalty, people you knew you could trust in a bind. We tried to look for flexibility, people that could adapt and roll with the punches because inevitably they're going to come. But the really big thing we always looked for was, does this person seem to have a spirit of thanks about them? Because when that is absent, oh my God. Oh my God. Years ago when I was traveling full time, I was preaching in Minnesota. And we had had a powerful response. And I don't even know to this day why this particular young person came to the altar. I don't know if it was a peer pressure, what it was. But there was a huge response in the service to the altar appeal. And there was a young person in the mass that had come forward. She caught my attention because it seemed like she was just kind of standing there. I didn't know if it was something being missed in translation, and there were some people that kind of prayed for and just didn't seem, nothing seemed to really connect, and she didn't seem to be very moved at all in any regard. And finally, I went down to her, and I said, I know you've come. I don't know the situation. I don't know the details. And about that time, her mother walked up. And I don't even know to this day why I said it, but I looked over and I said, listen, I said, I don't know what's going on in your life. I said, but if nothing else, you can thank God for your mom who is standing right next to you right now. Because without a doubt, she's going to be there come what may. And I'll never forget, the girl just all of a sudden came out of a coma. And she said, well, I can't say thanks for the rest of my life. I said, yeah, you can. And you better. Listen, if nothing else ever happens, good or ill to us, we can thank God and the persons that have invested themselves in us to get us where we are today. We're not here on our own. We're not here all by ourselves. We didn't just get here based on our own ingenuity. And it's interesting what Paul said to the Thessalonian church. He said, beloved, In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I mentioned the title of this message was The Half Full Life. There is this raging argument, and we're going to do a little poll today in the house of God. And some of you already know where I'm going on this today. This is a raging argument that if I were to have before you today a glass of water that was half full. This is a raging argument whether the glass is half full or half empty. It's kind of a colloquial understanding. The person who says the glass is half empty is the one that typically kind of errs a little more. I'm not going to say the negative side. We'll just say the more real side. It's not as full as it ought to be. And then there are folks who kind of lean in a more positive sort of way. And so to their mind, thank God it's half full. It may not be fully full, but thank God it's not fully empty. So we got half full people and half empty people. Be honest today, you're in the house of God. We don't want any lightning to strike. How many half full people do we have in the house? You look at the glass, you say the glass is half full. Put your hand up. That's a pretty good representation. Now, the rest of y'all, I'm assuming. How many of you are the half empty people? Yeah, okay, it's okay. Can I spend the next few moments talking about a half-full life? And what I mean by that is how can we appreciate a life of thanksgiving in the midst of a thankless world? Because we live in a thankless world where people gripe and complain all the time. And sometimes it's so avid, it just wears on you. You go into places, you go into stores, you go into restaurants, you go into places of convenience, and people are just unbelievable. And at times you say to yourself, is it really that bad? How do we actualize a thankful life in the midst of a thankless world? Well, number one, if you're taking notes, think of this. No one owes us anything. No one owes us anything. And we should be thankful. There's some people that have seemed, I don't even know where it's come from, they seem to have acquired this attitude that people owe them something. That some family member owes them something. That some school worker or principal or superintendent owes them something. That the job where they work owes them something, that the government owns them, and we could go on and go on and go on. Don't misunderstand. There are times where there are general oversights. But you know, you can express those without getting all mean-spirited about it. If you got a concern, you can address the concern. If I go to the Steak and Shake and I order me a triple steak burger, glory to God, and they give me some grilled chicken, I have every right to say, I didn't order that. It's okay. But even in that, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. What's the matter with you people? I didn't order a grilled chicken. I ordered a cholesterol-producing, heart attack-inducing triple steak burger. And in fact, you've messed up so bad, I am never, ever coming by here ever again. There's a right way even to raise a concern. Everyone look at me. No one owes us anything. It's appropriate to raise concerns where concerns may need to be raised, but we can even do that with the right kind of attitude. And in this text from 1 Thessalonians 5, he says things like, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. He's trying to say, hey, maybe you need a little bit of an attitude adjustment. And by the way, there is an attitude of gratitude. Raise the concern, but do it properly. Do it with a good spirit. And there are some things that just aren't all that critical. The sun will still rise tomorrow. It will set tomorrow evening. Hey, if I'm halfway down Interstate 74 and I got a grilled chicken instead of a triple steak burger, hey, listen. I'll probably waste more gas going back to the Steak and Shake to correct the problem. It'll be okay. It may not be what I wanted, but get to the next Steak and Shake. I'll get my triple cheap steak burger. But no one owes us anything. The problem that some people seem to have come to this sense that it's everybody else's problem, that somebody has not given them what they deserve. And so therefore, they're just bitter about it. They're angry about it. They're mad at the world. Forgive me. It's not in the King James, but get over it. Because somewhere along the line, we're all going to realize that there's a lot of things that may not come our way the way we had heard about, thought about, anticipated. But nonetheless, God's going to take care of us. Be thankful. You may not get everything you want. Life will not be fair at times. It will happen to us all. But no one owes us anything. So let's be thankful. Second of all, listen to this. God's grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every day, so be thankful. This idea of the sufficient grace of God is that wherever you find yourself, God's going to give you the grace to live through that. We may not always know how we're going to make our way through certain things. And we may be looking at our situation in front of us today, and we may be saying to ourselves, there's this and that and this other matter that is not exactly the way I want it, not what I signed up for, not what I hoped for. But wherever you find yourself, God's grace will be sufficient. He'll give you the strength you need. He'll give you the ability to live from point A to point B. He will provide a mercy that is new every single day. So therefore, we can be thankful. I know I'm probably the only one in the house, but there are certain junctures along the way in our life where I've just nearly in prayer railed at God, not accusing him, but just saying, God, how did this happen? And every time I've heard the Spirit of God say to me, be thankful anyway. Be thankful anyway. Somehow it makes the ride a whole lot easier. I'll say that again. It makes the ride a whole lot easier. Have you ever had the brain-dead idea of carting your family halfway across the United States in a car? You ever thought about doing that? When our kids were young, I mean really young, I was absolutely convinced there were other spirits that got loose in the back seat when we were headed across the country. By the time we'd leave our house and got an hour down the road, I was convinced there truly were other spirits. Another hour down the road, my wife and I were thinking about dumping them in the first available rest area dumpster. Another hour down the road, we were thinking about selling them to the gypsies. As they'd be squabbling back in. I never did it. But I will tell you this. God's grace will be sufficient for us. And all things will work together in your life for the good. To them who are called of God according to his purpose. What has been intended for evil in your life, God will turn it for good. To the saving, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're more than a conqueror to him that hath loved you. You can take those scriptures. You can stand on those scriptures. You can quote those scriptures. And the next time, and I preached this at myself, I had to preach it to myself yesterday in the middle of that snowstorm with Thomas and super wings going off in the back seat. I had to preach myself that same message. God, help me not to complain, because all it does is make me a grump. Can I say this? Hear this. One of the greatest, most evident sins, and it is a sin, in American culture today is the spirit of thanklessness. It is absolutely a sin. When God has blessed us the way he has, and we have so much, and if you don't believe this, and I preached this about a month ago when I talked about the toxin of self-pity. If you go back to Numbers chapter 11, it says the people complained in the hearing of the Lord and displeased him. Because many, many, many times, yeah, we may have some concerns. It's appropriate to raise those concerns. But God's grace will be sufficient. Even in the blistering desert, he will provide. He will protect us. He will watch over us. And his grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every morning. So we can be thankful. And third of all, as we prepare ourselves for the upcoming Thanksgiving season, it's just upon us. And from Nance and myself today, even though she's home taking care of two croupy kids today that are really, really sick, can I tell you today from us, I trust you'll have a wonderful, wonderful time with your family, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Can I tell you this? Even at the midnights of life, God will give his peace. So be thankful. He will visit by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why throughout the New Testament, I'm not going to quote you the verses today. I've looked at all of them. Do a word study for yourself before Thursday. And go to BibleGateway.com and in the little search box, type in the word thanks or thankfulness and see how many times the New Testament pops up. It's everywhere. Everywhere. Almost everything Paul and the apostles would say, they would add to it or couple with it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Do you really know when it became official in this country? Not back to the 1600s when the Puritans, in thanksgiving to God, gathered together those that assisted them and helped them. But the first official time in this country when Thanksgiving was celebrated was during the U.S. Civil War in 1863 when the nation was coming apart at the seams. President Lincoln called for a national day of fasting and thanksgiving. Of course, later, Congress established the fourth Thursday of November as a time for national celebration, for thanksgiving, and it's still in the rigs to God for his blessing. Now, I think back to when Lincoln, and I'm a buff of the U.S. Civil War, I've got all kinds of books I read and are continuing to read on it. If you know anything about what was happening in the country, the Union didn't even know if it was going to win the war. Particularly in 1863, just after Gettysburg, and just after Second Bull Run, and Chancellorsville, and all the rest of those battles, it looked like the Union would probably lose the war. And yet in the midst of it, he called for a national day of prayer, fasting, and thanksgiving. You see, when thanksgiving really means the most is when the chips are down. I mean, when things don't look good. It isn't hard. Now, you would never do this. You'd never do this, but if you win the Hoosier lottery, it's not hard to thank then. I'll tell you when it's hard to thank, when you look at your bank account and you got more going out than what's coming in. When your health doesn't look good. When you got dysfunction in your family. When you think you could lose your job. When you don't know what's going to come in the days ahead because there's so much uncertainty. When all of that is on your plate, it's so easy to want to find someone to gripe at. When what we ought to do is trying to find fault in anyone else, we ought to turn our eyes heavenward and say, God, I can't make sense of some of this right now, but I'm your son. I'm your daughter. No one owes me anything. But I know your grace is going to be sufficient. I know your mercies are new every day. And I know in the midst of this midnight, somehow you're going to make peace of all this. And God, I know that you're going to provide. I know you're going to take care of this. I know somehow you're going to sort out all these complexities and you're going to reverse the reverses. I put my faith and my trust. I will tell you, when you do that, something is going to happen in you. And when it happens in you, your world will look different. Your world will feel different. Your family will feel different. Your job situation will feel different. This is not a paid advertisement I'm about to say, but how much different would it be if you prayed for your boss? I'm going to ask the question and no one lift your hand. But did you pray for your boss this week? I've shared this story and I'm closing with it today. But when the economics collapsed, where we were living in Connersville and pastored the church there, and God had blessed the church. It was growing and being blessed. And when the Visteon factory closed, we watched 25 families move out of our town in 30 days. And it happened out of our church. And I didn't know how we were going to survive. It became obvious I was going to have to take on outside employment. I was going to have to take on other types of work just to take care and to provide for our ministry. And I really didn't want to do it. I was concerned about what I'd be able to do in that context. And one night, out working in the midst of it, I got really, really upset about what had happened. And I'll never forget it to this day. in the middle of all my bad attitude and my moaning and groaning, the Spirit of God said, I've provided it. Can you do it without complaining? Now, I have found with God, if you tell Him yes, He'll hold you to it. And He'll remind you of it. And once He got me calmed down a little bit, I said, Lord, I know You provided this job. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know what I was going to do, but all of a sudden it came my way, and I am thankful for it. It is helping us to pay the bills. It'll help us to get from point A to point B. I don't know where I'm going to find the strength to run the schedule, but God, if You provided, I know You'll give me the strength to do it. I know You'll help me. And some of you have said to me in process and conversation, when I've shared with you some of this, they've said, Pastor, how'd you ever do it? I don't know how I did it, except I know that God's grace is sufficient. I know His mercies are new every day. I know He'll provide. I know He'll open the windows of heaven over it. Don't gripe when He does it. He may open the windows in a way you didn't expect it. And then when He opens the windows of heaven, and it might require a little bit of work. Pretty quiet. And it requires a little bit of work and a little bit of effort. He will give us the strength we need to do what we have to do. Our job is to praise Him. Our job is to thank Him. Our job is to lift Him up. Our job is to exalt Him to where He most rightly deserves. And it's His job to give us the strength, to give us the grace, to give us the mercy, and to give us the ability to get from the point A's to the point B's in life. And when you find yourself depleted, He'll send you a second wind. He'll send you a second anointing. He'll send you a second power. He'll send you a fresh fire. He'll send you a fresh oil. He will pour out His Spirit upon you. And one day you're going to wake up and say, how did I ever get here? And you'll be able to say, it's because of the God of my salvation. Give Him a praise offering in this house today. Praise God for His goodness to us and His provisions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to ask anyone today to raise a hand. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. This is very tender, it's very personal. Look at me today. But if you're honest enough and transparent enough before God to say, God, forgive me for the sin of ingratitude, God will hear that prayer. He'll hear that prayer. I've sometimes been pulled into stuff kicking and screaming. That was God nonetheless. But I've always found God to be faithful to His word. He's a debtor to no man, and He will not start with you or I. He's going to take care of you. You may not know how. But in the process of Him jerking knots in our tail and getting our attention, that thanksgiving that will arise out of our life is going to provide an environment for more of Him and less of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I thank You. Father, help us to be half full glass type people, positive and thankful and appreciative. There may be things we don't understand. There may be places we have to go and things we have to do. Maybe there are those moments we find ourselves in the middle of a snowstorm and wonder why in the world we're even out in it. And yet we have precious cargo in tow. Heavenly Father, help us today. Where we live, where we work, who we live with. There are people in this room that beat breakthroughs in their life. Let it begin with a spirit of thanksgiving. Let it begin by us saying, Lord, I thank You in spite of it all for how You have brought me to where I am and how You're going to enable me to get where I'm going. I pray today for situations they find themselves in and circumstances. It may be more than what they've signed up or bargained for. And maybe they're reeling a bit today physically, financially. Maybe there's situations within their own family unit. Maybe there's places or persons today that are in the midst of work, they're out of employment, they've lost a job, and they may don't even know where a job is going to be offered, and maybe they've been grumbling in some respect about someone or somehow. Father, I just ask You today to help us, because we're all going to find ourselves in tough places at times. But what it does to us when we receive our lives with thanksgiving. Father, as we enjoy this upcoming week, with our loved ones and our friends. In spite of it all, help us to realize there's more than just a dinner that we're talking about. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about either we receive life with gratitude or we take it for granted. Let us never take it for granted again. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Glory to God. For the next 60 seconds, I want everyone in the house, whether you're here in the seats, whether you're in the sound booth or somewhere else in the building, or if you're listening to this message by stream, you're in a car, you're at home, wherever you are, I want us everyone for the next 60 seconds to thank God for as many things as we can think of. Would you put your hands up as high as you can lift them? And I want you right now to thank God for as many things you can think of in the next 60 seconds. I want you, in the very best way you know how, to thank Him for everything good and wonderful and precious in your life. Thank Him for your spouse and thank Him for your kids, your grandkids. Thank Him for your health and thank Him for your finance and thank Him for the food you eat and the house you live in and the communities we live in. Thank Him that you're an American today, that you live in a country that gives you the freedom of expression. Thank Him today for the church. Thank Him for the pastor and the leadership. Thank Him today for the blessing that He has given to you across the panorama of your life. Thank Him today for all the wonderful ways in which He continues to provide His peace and how He continues to fill your house with His presence, how He's still with your family and your siblings and your in-laws and your outlaws and all of the rest of it. Thank Him today and praise Him for all of the incredibly awesome and wonderful things He has done. Glory to God. Father, we worship You and bless You. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty and awesome name, everyone shout hallelujah.